The man turned slowly.
Yes, my lord.
In slow deliberation, the son of the ward drew one of his blasters and fired. McGregory flinched, but felt no searing stab of pain. But a slave, slicing a loaf of bread at the dining table, dropped the carving knife, staggered backward, and fell over, gushing blood. Richard holstered the blaster.
We set a random death every hour, and it will continue until the Outlanders are lying dead on this floor before us. I am a man of honor.
I just want them dead. You have until dawn. After which, there will be a new Captain of the Guard.
Forcing a smile, McGregory acquiesced and departed with even greater haste than his arrival. The room was dark and smelled slightly of mold and mildew, like a damp cellar, sealed off and forgotten. Off in a corner, a bolt holding down a metallic screen twisted to the left, the right, and then steadily turned counterclockwise. A hand reached through the grilled opening of the air vent to catch the bolts before they disengaged and fell to the floor. With a muted screech of rusty metal, the grating was forced off, angled sideways, and pulled into the air duct. There was some scuffling, then, swinging out his legs, Dean wiggled free of the confining duct and dropped to the ground, his stocking feet hitting the concrete with soft pats. He stood in the blackness, trying to listen with his whole body. There was no sound, except for the thunderous beating of the heart in his chest. Shielding the lens of the flashlight with his palm, Dean moved amid the boxes and shelves of the storage room, easily locating what he was assigned to find. Moving to the door, he prepared his tools and knocked on the wood just below the hinged inspection hatch, a small affair no larger than a few inches. A surprised grunt came from the outside, followed by the scraping of a chair leg on stone. Then the hatch swung aside, and a squinting face appeared in the opening, framed by light. There was an almost musical twang, and the sec man stumbled backward, a crossbow quarrel embedded to the fletching between his eyes. A few seconds later, the door swung open, and Dean came out, pocketing one of JB's lockpicks. A crossbow was dangling around his neck, along with a full quiver of quarrels. Sliding on his boots, Dean removed the dying guard's ring of keys and headed down the corridor. The lock on the side door was already oozing oil, and the key worked silently. He pulled it aside, admitting a gust of cold air and the rest of the companions. Ryan patted the boy on the shoulder, Christy returned his vest and blasters, and JB took back his picks. Mildred consulted a map.
This way. Two levels up, one corridor over. Third door.
Got?
Jack's knife and blaster were at the ready.
None. We're coming in backward, remember?
2-on-2 coverage.
Ryan's silenced 9mm Sig Sauer was out and level. The bolt-action Steyr SSG-70 was riding in its usual position across his back.
Silent penetration, 1 yard spread. Doc on point, Jack back of him. I'll take the rear. Dean, JB, Christy, and Mildred, take the crossbows.
Arrows?
Mildred tucked a crossbow between her thighs, and holding the string with both hands, cocked the weapon. The launching lever locked into position with a loud clack. Dean handed them out.
2 quivers each.
The physician tucked a quarrel snugly into the notch.
Ready.
Check.
Christy expertly held the weapon slanted upward, a hand laid alongside the lever, but not actually touching. Metal blasters got stubborn with age as springs weakened. Wooden crossbows got feisty. Doc holstered the Lama and unsheathed his sword. The normally shiny blade was a dull gray from a mixture of ash and bone glue, perfect for night creep work.
So let us do the deed which must be done, dark and bloody this cold night.
Staying near the walls to retard visibility, the companions swept through the deserted halls of the Citadel, advancing down corridors, upstairs, and through spacious rooms lavishly decorated. They met with no resistance. In a chilly corridor lit only by hanging oil lamps at both ends, Ryan raised a hand and closed it into a fist. Everybody stopped. Then he lifted a finger and twirled it in a circle. The others gathered close.
This feels wrong. We must have everybody out searching for us.
Idiots.
Jack's snowy hair masked his features.
Then they took the bait about the gasoline tanks.
Appears so.
Boy, this is another trap.
Ryan felt the tiny hairs on the back of his neck rise.
I don't trust the heirs any more than I do the slaves. Haven't met this many crazy lying bastards since those folks in Maine.
Suddenly, Christie sliced the air with a flat hand, and conversation ceased. The ceiling above them was vibrating slightly, making the hanging lanterns twitch at the end of their chains. The noise steadily increased until the ceiling rumbled with the sound of marching. Then, it briskly faded away in the direction they were heading. JB tucked his glasses more firmly onto his nose as a prelude to combat.
That was a freaking army. The heirs must have called in the reserves.
Leave?
If we could get past the wall without Leviathan, we would already be gone. We're in for the full count, boy.
Christie spread the map flat on the floor, and Jack brought a lamp closer. Ryan studied the old map.
Any way to circle past the bedchambers and reach the armory from the other side?
We can cut through the garage.
Christie pointed the way.
Won't they be expecting that?
It's too small for Leviathan. Only bikes and such there. Nothing a prisoner could use to escape.
Hell, there's not even anything there we want now. Just a place to go through.
A sec man in old worn sneakers stepped around the corner, the rubber soles noiseless on the stone floor. He was holding a steaming mug in both hands and gasped when he spied the group huddled around the map on the floor. Doc lunged, stabbing him through the throat with his sword, the blade slicing through to the other side. The mug dropped from nerveless fingers, and Mildred caught it in midair. Hacking for air, the guard stood there, motionless with the pain. Jack moved behind him and thrust a leaf-shaped blade upward into the base of the head, where the spine met the skull. Then he twisted the knife, and the guard went limp as if a switch had been thrown. As they lowered the body to the floor, Dean was amazed at the lack of blood from the attack, and filed the move away for future use. Flat against the wall, Ryan hissed for their attention, and held up two fingers, then pointed around the corner. JB and Doc moved out of the way, and let the others bunch together. Ryan directed Christie and Jack to go left, Mildred and Dean to the right. They nodded agreement. Taking a breath and holding it, Ryan held up one finger, then two, then three. In unison, they stepped around the corner. The two sec men, lounging in front of a door, turned at the sudden movement, and a knife handle sprouted from the forehead of one, while the other staggered about, his chest full of quarrels. The companions converged upon the guards and disposed of them quietly. Going to the door, JB listened, heard voices, and went to the other. Unlocking the door showed it was a utility closet full of mops and buckets. The bodies were dragged inside, and he locked the door to hinder their discovery. Ryan took the point position.
Double time.
Mildred stopped him, tilting her head.
Somebody is getting tortured in there, and I recognize the voice.
Ryan scowled.
Eugene?
Sounds like Shard.
Another agonized moan wafted to them from inside. Then, there was the cracking sound of a whip.
I'll never tell where Ryan is.
Shard choked for air between each word. The chains clamped about his wrists pressed deep into the flesh, cutting off circulation. His hands had gone numb hours earlier. They were the only part of him that didn't hurt. He tried again to rest his feet on the ground, and failed. A nearby brazier glowed with heat, iron rods thrust deep into the pile of red coals, and the slave wondered how much longer his captor would wait before using them.
For the 100th time, I don't care about him! How do you turn on the great machine? You must know! Tell me!
Only Ryan!
The whip laid fire across his bare back, and Shard bit back a cry.
At the best you got, my sister hits harder.
The lieutenant tossed aside the whip and grabbed an iron rod. The end glowed white hot and sizzled against bare flesh. The pain was beyond words, engulfing Shard's whole body.
You're a fool!
Anders put the iron back into the coals.
Tell me, and you live. I don't work for the heirs. I want this fill for myself, but I need the tank to kill them.
Then his tone softened, and he raised a cup of wine to Shard's cracked lips.
Show me how to operate the great machine, and you can be my mechanic. You'll have women, food, anything you want.
Anything except freedom.
Anders threw the cup aside and grabbed the whip.
I want to know where they got the tank.